Bob Altmaier once said, once dogmatism turns out the lights, you might as well close up shop as a civilization and pull up the covers as a sentient life form. You get nowhere with unquestioning certainty. It's thinking with your mind wide shut. Hello everyone, this is Fahrenheit 452, I'm Dodo, and along with me is Sai and our close friend Animesh. Today, we're going to talk about dogmatism, and in a situation where dogmatism is almost everywhere, we think we must talk about it. The way I see it, dogmatism is a train of thought that only one truth is the truth as compared to the other truths. Sai, what do you think about
dogmatism? My definition of dogmatism might be a little different, but it does resonate with what you said. It is a train of thought that is overly focused on one idea, where people don't have a diversity of perspective. And before we jump into a world where everybody is dogmatic, where it comes, what makes a person dogmatic? Primarily, I think person becomes dogmatic because the way he's wired, that's what decides his beliefs, that's what decides his perspectives towards some. A lot of people are not taught to question. They don't know that they have this labor to ask questions, and it is a virtue to ask questions. It is needed. So a lot of people don't know that. That would be one of the deciding factors of a person being dogmatic or not.
As I understand dogmatism, which means that a person thinks that what he says is the only thing that can be right. He won't question anyone else, or nobody can question him on what he thinks is right, because his belief is right. Now, if I break it down on a personal level, then as a kid, we are always taught that as guys, we cannot cry, or as guys, we cannot do this, we cannot do that, or as girls, we cannot do this, we cannot do that. That is also a kind of dogma, because that's the truth that has been taught to us. Ki hum bas yahi kar sakte. That is the truth. That is the only way we can lead. As we grow up to become a dutiful citizen of a country, because we have countries and boundaries, we are born in India, the only truth is constitution. We have to abide by the constitution, what it says, and that's the ultimate truth. Okay. We cannot question it. Now, if there are laws that date back to 1852s, 1860s, while we are living in 2020, those laws cannot be applied to a person living in an age of internet. But we are not allowed to question those laws, because that's the ultimate truth taught to us. For me, dogmatism is everywhere in the current world, and we are living inside a bubble that has been made by dogmatism.
Absolutely. Now, we aim to break down how people tend to be dogmatic. Animesh, I'd like you to share your opinion that how come a person ends up believing so radically towards this one particular thought that he or she does not want to accept any other train of thought.
I would love to quote one of the dialogues of one of my favorite films. If you remember the film Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, that's an amazing film.
Yeah, there's a dialogue that we accept the love. If I'm not wrong, if that's the right dialogue or not. But
It is. You're at the right path,
We accept the love we think we deserve. So sometimes people accept the facts and answers they think is right. They won't question it. If it falls in place for what they're thinking, and they wouldn't question, right? Mm. If I say that a dog is dog, or if I come to you tomorrow and say that, you know what, this cat is a dog, and I'll give you some fact that you cannot deny, that they are walking on four limbs, they have a nose, they have two ears, and that's the only truth I know. And I lay it on you, and you say that, okay, and that's all you can see, but you won't question me back, then you're believing what I say is truth, and you start believing what a cat is a dog. Sorry, or the dog is a cat, whatever I say.
You're trying to say a constant confirmation.
It started from one person. It is passed down the line, right? And as I feel that if you take anyone who is dogmatic, he has not become dogmatic just one night he woke up and he became a dogmatic because he read something or not. It is a process during his childhood that he has been listening to one particular thing and never been taught the beautiful ability to question things or being curious about things. He has always been taught that this is the truth. And that's why he's been brought up like a dogmatic, and he became a dogmatic.
To add more to the reasons of why people become dogmatic, there's this other thing also. A lot of people are lost, actually. It's like they don't want to search, and they don't want to seek. And many of the people out there want easy answers. That's what happens. And when people are lost and they are not seeking for the right kind of answers, and you just offer them something, like Animesh said, a lot of people very well have the tendency to accept what people say. It's like their opinions might be aligned to the one who offers them a truth. It may not be the truth in the first place. I don't think it would be safe to say it's the truth. It may not be. It might be someone's opinion. Sometimes their opinions are aligned to it, and sometimes it's not. So when they're actually lost and they're not seeking something, they're not actually thinking about it, they seem to accept it as an easy way out.
Okay. If you were to ask me, yes, upbringing is one of the major factors in that. And it also has something to do with a certain kind of prejudice, right? If you are raised a certain way, you're more likely raised to hate on some community. Yeah, like the neo-Nazis are growing up just to hate anybody who's not them. The blacks and others, and the Hindutva douchebags from the RSS, they just stick to their hatred towards a particular community, especially the Muslims. So I think to keep the dogma alive, they have to keep that hate towards that particular community. Otherwise, it's very hard to subscribe.
Literacy is one of the big reasons. When people are not literate, when people do not have the tendency to think more, like I already said, so literacy is also a thing. They seem to go with the trend. It could be anything. Dogma can emerge from culture. It could emerge from a particular habit that they might have in the family. So they go with the trend, and they don't want to break the trend in the first place. And they don't really understand that the worthiness of their own opinions and their own perspective towards it.
Like Dodo said that they need to have that hatred towards one community to be completely dogmatic. I feel that it's not always about hatred, because for me, I think it's about the truth, right? Like the origin of truth cannot always be hatred, right?
Of course.
No, but there is this certain compulsion of a dogmatic person to impose it on you, which has to be violent.
Not and really. Where does so violence come where I from? Differ is that where I feel like why in today's world we have so much of this gender issues. Why is it always that there are about any issue becomes about men and women? Is because as kids and as along the generations, since our like the ancestors and all, they have always been taught about being, this is a very guy thing, this is a girl thing. Now, even that is one kind of truth. Like, they thought that that is true, that the some things all a guy can do or some things are all girls can do. So, that they laid it down as truth and morals. Like, that's how morals and morality came into picture. So, like, those are morals to be followed, right?
And of course,
so
yeah, go on, Animesh.
When we started believing those truths, and those truths, like, they don't have an origin of hatred, I would say. So I don't think like always has to be hatred, and dogmatism won't always end up being violent. I wanted to say the origin cannot always be hatred, but yeah, most of the time it results into hatred and violence.
To keep yourself subscribed to the dogmatism, you need hate. The origin may not be hate, but if you have to keep subscribing to that dogma, you have to hate someone.
If you want to maintain a certain belief, hatred is one of the tools that people use. I guess that's what you're trying to say. And then there is also a point of context that comes in. It's like whatever belief that we have today might not be the same, or might not apply to the same society that we might have 10 years from now, or maybe 5 years from now, or maybe 50 years or 100 years down the line. What happens is that there might be a lot of beliefs that might be acceptable in the olden days, but people not moving on, people still holding on to the same trend and not putting their thoughts into it. That's what becomes dogma. A simple belief that was acceptable and it worked at one time, at one context, may not really work everywhere. And something that we believe, and it also changes with place as well. We can agree on that people from different backgrounds have different beliefs, and one belief may not be the same for the other. So
they exactly, don't all have to
there's
be
a context comes. I hope that makes sense. It's like whatever we have today may not be acceptable and may not be solutions to many problems 10 years from now. And again, there's other place, other things like location that also comes in. What we have, a solution in India may not be a solution in America, because people are different. They come from different backgrounds, and the vice versa is also true.
I agree with what he says. I think that what right, but again, I come from a different opinion of about dogmatism and or the whole scene, because when I picture things right now in the current world, it's like we are being run by the systems that are a result of dogmatism over the years, right? What do you think about that?
Yes,
what
were
the results of dogmatism right now?
See, the results of dogmatism hinders trade, because the thing is, why would you do? Because a dogmatic man subscribing towards one ideology is not going to do business with someone who subscribes to another. It really affects trade, if you ask me. One of the major reasons of the trade wars between America and China is for that. The Cold War that happened between the Russian communists and the American capitalists hindered trade all across the board. There was a restriction, right? Who you could do business with and who you couldn't do business with. And that becomes a problem when you put ideology at the forefront of everything.
There's
no business.
Yeah, talking more about the results of dogmatism would be pretty obvious that casteism is one of that. Like I said, the context changes with time, and what used to be a solution may not be a solution right now. So there used to be a time when casteism was a thing. It's like basically they divided people in terms of their work into different castes, just as a means of classification maybe or identification. But now it has become a mean of stigmatizing people. So this itself is a, what do you say, it's a negative result, and how it's not working. And this is one of the biggest widespread in our country, one of the biggest dogma that we have. That is affecting people.
No, and talking about caste, I don't think in the beginning, like you said, Sai, if it was just about work, right? A person at the bottom of the societal food chain could move to the top. A Shudra could be a Brahmin, a Vaishya could be a Kshatriya, a Brahmin could be a Shudra. But at some point of time, there was a sudden shift in what it would be. They suddenly made it hereditary. If you are a son of a Brahmin, you have to be a Brahmin. You can't be anything else. Okay. So the fact that there was this dogma towards this nepotism nonsense, I guess, could be the reason why that is there. But at the same time, it also has something to do with privilege. The reason caste system is taking its time to go away, it's because that the most privileged party in this scenario, that is the upper caste Brahmins here, they do not want to let go of their privileges. The abolition of the caste system movements or the talk about it is a threat to their privilege. Yeah, which is why in their case, they have no choice but to adopt that dogmatism. They have to be dogmatic. They have to be radical towards their train of thought. Otherwise, I don't know how are they going to keep their privilege. Otherwise, you know, they'll have to be like us. They have to attack what it all
when we
for.
Talk about the results and all, some things are there, you know, like now you mentioned that thing about how, you know, you related kind of the caste system or the work, like it's based on work, the caste system. If it was only based on work, how it would have differed from the current caste system, right? No, I'm, as you mentioned, you're... and then you related it to somehow nepotism and everything. So when we talk about all these things, these ideas, these are opinions we have, and it can differ, right? Like, we can differ in each opinion.
Of course we can. The whole point of not being dogmatic in the first place.
Yeah, but in today's world, when we, in the world of social media and everything, when you post your opinions on anything and people come with one single ideology, they come and attack you. And I feel that this is not a place for attacking. It's a place of discussion, and we are losing that ground of discussion.
Absolutely.
And that's the worst result of, you know, dogmatism, I feel.
Exactly, Animesh, like...
Sai, remember, right, we were talking about news and social media. And remember, Animesh, since you went there, we'll brush it up to you. We were talking about why that social media problem happened. We were saying that there used to be a time that there used to be a thing called the thought elite. There's elite in almost everything, right? Like Kohli is the cricketing elite, James Hetfield is the metal elite, and so on and so forth. Similarly, we had the thought elite like Mahatma Gandhi, B.R. Ambedkar, Periyar, and Trotsky, Lenin, and so on and so forth. There were many people. But what social media did was it broke everything. Everybody has opinions and everybody can put it and everybody can gain a following. So Animesh, it was like there's this match going on and Virat drops a catch. The audience is like, screw this, we are all going to play in the field. So that's what social media has kind of done. And that's why we see people with various degrees of dogma. They're dogmatic on one particular aspect and they'll keep hitting you with it. And they won't even subscribe to anything else. That's what happens when you don't expand your knowledge. When you don't read different perspectives.
And
on
adding things to what Animesh said, we don't truly accept people's difference of opinions. Like, that is one of the big problems that we have today. The other day I was telling you, like, me and Dodo were having dinner. And I was like, I don't have to like your opinion to be my friend. So that's the whole point. Yeah. It's like, you might have an opinion about something, and I might have an opinion about the same thing different. So that's why people really don't understand that what really shapes friendships is not opinions. Because the conversation needs to always happen. More of a discussion, like when Imesh said. And people really don't get it.
Yeah.
Once we accept people's decision, their opinions, accept in the sense we are listening to them. You know, like what Dodo's favorite thing is to debate. We might always debate. And the whole point is we listen to each other. So something if Dodo says, take some random topic and we are talking about something. And I might have a lot of disagreement about something and Dodo agrees about it. And if there is something nice about it, I could always adopt it. We might have that thinking space to do that. Maybe these are the baby steps into preventing dogmatism or to letting a train of thought happen.
Like, there's this beautiful movie. I would again bring another film that I and Sairam, we were watching a few months back, Manto.
Amazing movie, man.
In that court scene, we have the legends of Urdu writing. They are the legends of Urdu literature, as they call it Adab, Urdu Adab. So we had Manto, who was accused, and we had Faiz Ahmed Faiz, who was the editor that time. And they brought in Faiz Ahmed Faiz to check profanity used in Manto's work. And he said that, ki ha, ye profanity to chalta hai. It's fine, this profanity is fine. But it's not the best literature I have ever read. And Manto looks at him like, what? Seriously? Right? But they accepted. And then later on, they didn't show it in the film, but people had discussion. They discussed about why Manto's work was ahead of its time. Some people said it's not ahead of its time. But at least they did it. They had that discussion. And we are losing on it. We don't have such discussions in today's world. If I say something about some party, I automatically become a part of another party, even if I don't believe in their ideology.
Yeah.
Because we cannot have an opinion that's different from everyone else. We have to follow some kind of truth.
We have to pick a side. That's the problem. I mean, if you were to bring people of the past in today's world, it would be very interesting to know where would these people be. If, let's just say, I was to bring Julius Caesar in, bring back from the past. He believed in land reform and the redistribution of wealth. So he's a socialist, but at the same time, he believed in the centralization of power. So he's more of a fascist. He also believed that business should prosper all across the board and people from in and out should do trade with everybody. So he's a capitalist. What's going on here? On various situations and circumstances, we have a particular stance on everything. If you ask me, being dogmatic is also very impractical. At the same time, when people take the name of this one particular leader and say that he believes only in this ideology, it is also hypocritical, and it shows that these people are so indulged in their own ideology that they forget they are actually even subscribing to something else. Like, for example, Modi. They all call him that he's, you know, right-wing, this and that. But he has done many typical left-wing moves. He increased the work for Manrega in the meantime. And also at the same time, he brought this thing called Ayushman Bharat. Although it was useless, but you can say it's a very socialist thing to do. So I'm not getting what's going on.
You look at, you know, as you said, that when you bring in the leaders of the past in today's world, what world will have? They always talk about Bhagat Singh, an atheist, a communist. And they always praise him so much. But you don't even accept that even one thing that he has said. Sometimes they make fool out of themselves, you know, these dogmatics.
No, and it is so sad that even the communists couldn't use Bhagat Singh as the icon for their party.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Yeah, and the Hindutva fascists were able to snatch him under their nose. And they were able to politicize Bhagat Singh. But Bhagat Singh would never subscribe to the Hindutva ideology.
Exactly, man. It's like I think we just barely subscribing, just agreeing to being dogmatic is the only optimism I see in dogmatism is with robots. It's what we want. And that's what makes us human when we are not dogmatic. Because if we are, then we are barely robots. Because that's what we expect from a robot to do.
Yeah.
Not have opinions in the first place.
We are just robots of, you know, made of flesh that gets tired.
Exactly.
Just, you know, we're just not thinking freely. That's it. So I don't even think we have to be optimistic about it. And the thing is, dogmatism also brings a certain sense of false pride. Because see, to be dogmatic towards a particular thing, you have to hate someone and you have to love yourself a bit too much. We are great. We are great. We are great. But when you have dogmatism out there, you will not prove why you're great. You just want to tell
that, makes sense,
that you're great.
It's basically, again, it has always been used as an element to rule people. Like when people really don't have their own opinions, they don't have their own perspectives. And also the literacy rate is a little less and people tend to agree with you. So what would you do? The one of the easiest tool and most effective tool is to create a certain belief so that people would subscribe to it and you could rule them, you could dominate them. And they would be in a continuous loop that they would never disagree with you. So it makes things easier for you.
Yeah. I also wanted to bring this thought. We were talking about dogmatism all this time, but we forgot to mention one other kind of dogmatism. And that is scientific dogmatism, that science is the ultimate truth. What are your opinions about this?
Over the years, we have been seeing that every question that we have asked is getting answered by science. And they are giving us a more logical answer, I would say. And if we break down even those answers, we can find answers to other questions. So I feel that if a person is more scientific, if he really follows like the scientific dogmatism, then we are looking at a better future, because indirectly he becomes more rational because he's looking at logics and facts. So that's like one kind of dogmatism that should exist in today's world, but it's not there at all.
I very well, I quite disagree with Animesh that it's like what I would say is that dogmatism, like we did go on and on about dogmatism in the first place. So having to be biased about something, totally rely on science, shouldn't be the case. That's what I think, because the mystery still exists. Mm. There are many unanswered questions and not everything is solved by logic. So we need to find other better solutions, man. But and science doesn't answer everything at the end of the day. I do agree that on many occasions, many problems are solved easily when you are in the umbrella of facts and logic, but not all the time. And I really think that we should have an open mind. We should think beyond science.
Like, as you said, science hasn't answered all the questions yet, but 500 or 600 years ago, we didn't even know there's something called gravity. It was discovered and science found that answer. Science found the answer that something is falling down because there is some kind of force. We need to give science its own time to evolve and develop. But again, as Sai said that, there are some questions that need to be answered, but science cannot.
You stated in a really great, a simple example about the discovery of gravity. It was more like an epiphany that came to us. So what happened was we had our minds open. If we never really analyzed and started thinking about it, because gravity wasn't factual, we discovered it. If we were dogmatic back in the day, we might never have pondered upon it. We may never have realized the force of gravity.
True.
If that makes sense.
I
might put forth something else. Whenever you bring dogmatism related to a particular ideology, is that the idea itself is above everything else. And when I mean everything else, I also mean human life. When you come to a point like that, there is always death and destruction. Even if it brings a rational point of view or an emotional point of view or a peaceful point of view either, but it will come with violence and some massive repercussions to it. Like we have the Ayatollahs and Adityanath and so many other religious theocratic morons that subjugate people and make people do bad things in the name of religion. That's religious dogmatism right there. But at the same time, we have also seen in history where people have committed atrocities in the name of science. A well-known example I'll give you was Josef Mengele. He was known as the Angel of Death. He was known for cutting up and stitching gypsy twins. And he did this all in the name of science. Also, there's another incident, that is the Unit 731, where a bunch of Japanese doctors did forced vivisection on women without anesthesia, also in the name of science and research. if you also put science at the forefront of everything, fine, we will get some answers to some questions. There may be some logic to it, but at the same time, what happens when you're dogmatic towards just science? When we think about science, we think of how science brings people forward their life. But then if you only engross yourself with this idea, putting it above everything else, then experimenting on human beings is okay. We don't have to do animal trials.
I just agreed to opinions that were not in my favor, which goes on to prove I'm not a dogma.
Who one is saying that? Fact that we are all here to talk about dogmatism.
That itself proves in good faith that we are not like none of us are dogmatic.
But we can agree that at the moment you were definitely biased towards science, but you were certainly not dogmatic. You would have said very main things right now. Okay. Don't worry about that.
Moving on. Okay, art. Okay, we all love art, man. It's like I cannot cease to talk about art. It's like every episode that we do, some way or the other, art creeps itself its way into it. So again, I think dogmatism is another menace to art. Art wouldn't exist if dogmatism was there, because a difference of experience. People wouldn't experience things differently if they were dogmatic. So I would say, let's just say, Bhimli is not a good place to go to. And I give you a lot of rumors or something. Bhimli is basically a beautiful beach in Vizag. That's what I'm talking about. So Dodo will never go there. Let's just say, beaches are not a place. It's like a menace to health, or you just dropped it. Like, okay, whatever I'm saying doesn't make sense. So let's just say that's an ideal that I'm putting in. And a lot of people like think that beaches are the places where people get killed, and nobody really discovers it. And then the same thing happens. It's like art happens when there is people have a diversity of experiences. And again, how does dogmatism affect art? Yeah, does it align with what I said? It's like, does it align with my thought process that dogmatism wouldn't let art happen? It wouldn't let people experience and express it out there?
No. It's not that. It's just, it would only allow one form of expression over the other. So there would be a wide censorship. It's not that art wouldn't be there. It would be that art would not be accessible to everyone. Okay. I mean, we can go back to the Nazis again and again. Over there, no, fine. Let's go back to the Roman Empire. Now, when Caesar was the dictator, he put up the Senatus Consultus Ultimum and made himself the dictator, right? So there was only art of his triumph that was out there. Okay. Even moments of his people killing themselves. It was pretty graphic that even the people didn't like. But only that was allowed because you had to be pro-Caesar. There were definitely art around there that was anti-Caesar, but there was some sort of censorship. If you wrote a poem that said anything against him, if you were born then, your poem would be taken and just burned. And maybe you would burn with your poem. So just accessibility towards that art would have been hard. But if you were making a pro-Caesar art at the time, where he's just being the king and the hero, the Greek hero that's going to save everyone, make Rome great again. In that kind of art you can make. So art will be there. Yeah, you can call it propaganda, but it'll be there. It just won't
about
be accessible.
Art. Yeah. So I'll take you back closer to home example. So I don't know if you people know about Zia-ul-Haq, the Pakistan kind of a dictator after independence. So again, I'll take you back to two of the best poets, Ahmed Faraz and Faiz Ahmed Faiz, who wrote against him, because they wrote against him. They wrote many poems, and one of the most famous poems that even till date we, you know, recite in today's protests, Hum Dekhenge, right? Those poems were banned, they were jailed. They had to leave Pakistan. They had to take exile from Pakistan. When you say that dogmatism would affect art, it wouldn't stop or hinder art, because people will still write about their truth. But yeah, nobody will try to read or try to acknowledge art, and it will be just like us talking to each other. Because if we three follow the same path, like we both are like, we three follow the same kind of beliefs, you will be reading what I write and I'll be reading what you write. But some person who is following some other kind of path, like some other kind of belief, he won't read our work. And that's where art will never grow. It will never have an audience.
It will also like variety also.
But
like,
it won't stop. Art, you know, nothing can stop actually art.
Yeah, exactly. And also that as being a firm believer that it's like art is all about exploration. Yeah. Let's just take Anne Frank's diary is an amazing example. To feel what it was back in the day, to be a Jew. So one of the good places to be is Anne Frank's diary. So when I read Anne's entries, I would feel that this was the case. And if that never happened, only one form or it would be restricted. It would be quite constrained.
The circumstances in the Anne Frank's diary is because of anti-Semitic dogmatism. So yes, maybe the dogmatism itself created the masterpiece that it is, that everybody reads and all. But it came at a cost, right? It came at the cost of the adolescence of the young girl and her elder sister and the boy she loved. And also the people around him, they had to hide like rats.
As I said, there's nothing stopping art so soon. So yeah, like I have no other views about how dogmatism would affect art. Because I legit think that if there is any force that can stop art, is the end of civilization.
The way we live is in itself is art. Like we can all agree that the accessibility of art might go away. If in case of dogmatism, and very well said, like we came up with a good optimistic point of view towards dogmatism, like it has over the time in history and maybe in future as well, how it has made a lot of works, like the works of Anne Frank, works like Emily Dickinson, all of them were suppressed and subjugated due to the whole of society believing something else that was stopping them, and it did let them write and come up with amazing things. That's one optimistic point of dogmatism. So Dodo, what are the other optimistic points can you think of when it comes to dogmatism? Like, is there any more? Okay, it just stops there.
It stops there. Okay.
Yeah.
Being a sadist, I will say, when people are just dogmatic, there's a war bound to happen and people are just going to kill each other. Unless people is always good for me. I don't like people as in general, so it's very optimistic.
I would say one optimistic point of view. I don't know if it makes sense though. But the very idea of dogmatism lets you think about it. Now we have understood that dogmatism is not the right thing, or it just restricts your potential or whatever you do, and it has many problems in it. So dogmatism in itself motivates thought. All it takes is that you just need to start thinking.
See, anything can bring thought. So, I mean, that doesn't have to be a positive thing about dogmatism. You might as well say that taking a dump in your toilet makes you ponder about something.
It of course does, man. It does. it's the best time I have, and I get the best thoughts and make life decisions in there. Yes. I might as well say that.
Yeah.
No, like when Sai said that this we can take as an optimistic view on dogmatism, that due to dogmatism, it resulted into these great pieces of work. But those were quite sad endings though. Like, so it wasn't really optimistic. It was just destiny playing its part.
It came at a cost, very sad cost. Terrible cost. Godan happened because of untouchability. Munshi Premchand's Godan. Hum Dekh Lenge by Faiz Ahmed came at the cost of dictatorship in his country.
Dekhenge.
Hum?
Yeah.
Hum Dekhenge, sorry. Hum Dekhenge. It was also used during the UCA.
Even the most famous song right now, and which got part of fame, which is very sad that got its part of fame due to a Netflix series. But it is really a great song if you read the translation in English. The Italian peasants started singing during the World Wars. Bella Ciao.
Yeah.
Dogmatism, Bella Ciao. Yes, they resulted into great pieces of art, but again, at a very, very sad cost.
Yeah, I want to explain it is again. It's like we can all agree that conflict is what keeps the world going. It's like when we have a problem, dogmatism is a problem and we are talking about it. Three of us got together, we thought let's do this episode on dogmatism and we are talking about it. We can very well agree on that one fact that it is one of the conflicts. It hasn't resulted well, it has resulted being a lot painful. But at the same time, it is a conflict that...
Sorry, that's the problem, I think. When someone's dogmatic about something, to elevate their ideology in a platform, they need a conflict. And it has to be a conflict of their creation. Like we have right now, Hindu Khatre Mein Hai, right? They created this conflict that Hindus are at a threat. And anybody who's in the way is like another secular fool that must be wiped out, right? At the same time, you had the Germans who had this thought that Jews as a parasite.
Yeah, actually, I would say that we should always end it on a very positive note. Hmm. The fact that we are discussing a topic which prevents discussion. So, definitely, dogmatism is not going to take over the world any soon, I would say.
I think it is taking over. And
of course, man, it'll always be there. It's like one of the good elements to rule somebody. So we need better leaders out there. Leaders who would accept and appreciate people thinking and appreciate people's different perspectives. To appreciate people, whatever they bring to the table, so that we have a solution at hand. Let's just say this podcast as well. It's like we came up with a lot of different points. And when we go away, we take away a lot of different opinions and then we process it and we get to learn from it. Mm. Once we let this process, this thought process happening, and when we start accepting people's different opinions, then that is a start. That is a start to eradicating this. But I don't think it will ever be nullified. It'll always be there.
And not just opinions, but criticism. We have to be open to criticisms. And for some reason, Animesh, I think you'd also agree, criticism has always seen in a negative light.
Oh, well, I was going to say that it's been 2 years that my criticisms have been getting a lot of criticism.
you've got a lot of flack for that, right? The purpose of a criticism is to fix the problem that we already have. And we're not just critiquing, just act superior and it's like, I know everything and all. But we really want to fix the problem that's affecting all of us. That's the thing that these leaders don't want to understand. They think that if we attack them, we are attacking their ideology. And that cannot happen. Which is why we see an autocratic government jailing people from a student
protest. I would give a small example, about criticism. So it might sound like a story, but it's small example. When I was back in 9th or 10th grade, we were getting all these scams by the Congress government. People were saying, we are fed up with this government. Back in 2014, they threw them out. So, you threw them out for what? Because they were not doing any good, right? So now when we question the current government that, even you are not doing any good.
Yeah.
So they say us that it's been 60 years by the Congress government. Give us time.
Yeah, these idiots forget that all this time there were other governments. He forgot.
Yeah, they were thrown out too.
And Vajpayee was a BJP. That most weird, wacky shit I've ever seen. They forgot Narasimha Rao's government. They forgot Chandrasekhar's government. Devagowda's government. And so many others. I mean, they were short, but they were there.
Now, criticism is always like, if you are criticizing someone, that means you're supporting the opposite of that person, right?
So the thing is, it doesn't matter who we are supporting at this point. If something is wrong, we should raise our voice against it. Doesn't matter what side I'm in. When, let's just say, you subscribe to a particular ideology, I subscribe to a particular ideology. Now the thing is, some random individual who happens to subscribe to my ideology, that's a terrible crime. Okay. See, we are attacking the person. Right, you are attacking the person, not my ideology and also not me. The thing that I'm going to have this perception that just because this individual subscribing to my ideology has been attacked, there is a generalization being spread that I too subscribe to the kind of things he does. And I guess that's the problem. We have to, I guess, when we criticize someone, we have to console them with the fact that, no, we don't pick you as a caricature. We just think that you just subscribe to one ideology, and we'll also tell them that he's not acting like he subscribes and to criticism your ideology.
It always leads the way. It is a food for thought. It's actually when you're criticizing someone's work, you're actually complimenting his work. You know, it really shows that you have consumed his content and what you think about it. And also, criticism very well has the power to pull people or pull work out of mediocrity.
You know, in the current scenario, like in the current situation we are living in, the kind of thoughts we are talking about will definitely in future let us behind the bars.
of course, we would know that we were good enough that way.
There is always a Prashant.
Oh, I have my 1 rupee ready.
I don't think if I do have it, man.
Says the one who's been placed. So I guess that's all we have to talk about.
And stay away from dogmatism. It's like keep thinking, but like criticize productively and That's all.